Welcome to the Avenue Mama podcast, where we explore the avenues of motherhood, mindset, and mompreneurship. I know you're a busy mama, so during each show, I've built in time for you to apply the tip or lesson to your life while you listen. I'm your host, Annie Vovant, mother of two, and this podcast was created because mom guilt is real, and so are our dreams. So let's get rid of mom guilt once and for all. Girl, let's get started. Hey, welcome to the Avenue Mama podcast. I'm your host, Annie Bovin, and today is a really big deal for me. It's actually a big deal for anyone with a dream. I was looking through my Evernote app. I don't know if you guys use that. It's just like a digital notebook. This is not a plug by any stretch, but I do that because it timestamps when I have a thought and I want to write it down and when I want to create like a future self and I write a biography of my future self. I know I'm geeking out. Anyway, I'm looking back at my Evernote and in 2018, before I even launched a podcast, I wrote that I would love to have Amy Porterfield on my podcast. I didn't launch my podcast until April of 2019. So let me tell you, when you write things down and when you put it in the universe and you manifest it, it really happens. And so I hope you do this exercise. I'm sitting here in so much gratitude. On my bucket list are two other people that I was able to get on this very show. This show that has been far from perfect. This show has been far from where I wanted to be, but I did it anyway. I started the show anyway. So maybe you have something in your business, in your life that you want to pursue, and it seems really grand, but you did it anyway, and you can do it anyway. So who were the other two people on my bucket list? You can go back to episode 11 and 14 and see who I also manifested to be on the show. What you'll enjoy is to see a side of Amy where she future paces herself. I put her in the hot seat for my favorite exercise to really get women to really dream really big. And so there's a part where we shared a little future Amy, as well as what course she would launch if there was no pressure, nothing on the table, and what she would geek out about as well. So enjoy this episode. It was an honor to have you, Amy. Amy Porterfield is an online marketing expert and the host of the Top Drink podcast, Online Marketing Made Easy. Before building a multi-million dollar digital course, Amy worked with mega brands like Harley Davidson and peak performance coach Tony Robbins, where she oversaw the content team and collaborated on groundbreaking online marketing campaigns. Through her best-selling courses and popular podcasts, Amy's action-by-action approach proves that even the newest online entrepreneurs can bypass the overwhelm and instead generate exciting momentum as they build a business they love. You guys, she is so kind and so fun, and you can find all things Amy by going to avenuemama.com/Amy. I am an affiliate for her upcoming course, the Digital Course Academy. I am a student from 2019. And I confess what it actually took for me to finally launch a course this year, finally. And what I also love is taking everything that Amy said about if you're new to the online space, what you should do for the first 6 months, and then what she would do if it was her. So I hope you take a listen. And if you want to connect further, I'm everywhere at Avenue Mama. Take care. Oh my goodness. There she is.
Hi.
Hi. I brought some friends.
Awesome. How is everyone?
Thank you, Amy.
How are you doing, friend? It's been a long time.
I know. And my God, when you're in San Diego, you're so much closer. I'm like, I want to do photos at your house, but I guess I just have to come over to Nashville. I mean, that's my self-invite.
Right? Exactly.
I invited my friends, Amy. These are women who are either in Avenue Mama in my own personal community or in Thrive and Shine. And I think you know Shannon, Shannon Hale. She was Rachel's personal assistant and community manager. So okay. She and I have a mastermind together.
Cool.
And I just invited all the people who are, there she is. There's Shannon. She's next to you on my Zoom. Let me give you the spotlight. I just invited all my friends because I feel like we can have a really casual, like bring it down conversation, because I know that I'm probably the oldest person here. So as your elder, guys, when I joined DCA, I like printed the slides and I made a binder and I had all the intention, but Amy, it took me 2 years to finally do it. Yeah. And I don't want anyone to do that because I made up excuses and I let mom life get in the way. And I finally, you know, it worked for me. What I did to finally get my course off the ground.
What was that?
I,
I declared it in a room full of people.
Oh, I love that.
And so I, in my own coaching group, I said, by Mother's Day, hell or high, I'm doing this. And I think the moms here will appreciate how ghetto fabulous it was. I had no tech. I literally made Google Slides. I recorded it on my memo notes. I figured out how to link the two because I was like, I just need to do this. And I dripped it out and I made it so hard. And, but I did it, Amy, I did it. So don't be like me. Welcome everybody. This is Amy Porterfield. She needs no introduction because I do not want to spend a moment other than talking about like getting out of your own way and how you can have a side hustle and turn it into a business. And so we have women who are new to entrepreneurship and women who have that idea possibly, but we're stuck in imposter syndrome, Amy. And so what is the loving, tough love that you could give to people to like just do the damn thing?
I love that. I think the way you get yourself to do the damn thing is that you have to have several whys of why it is that you want to do it and why it's important. Now, we've all heard about, you know, you got to choose your why has to mean something, but I'm talking about several whys. Yeah. Yesterday, I was talking to one of my students, Bevan, who has made over $40,000 with her digital course, and she's a woman who, I won't get into all the details, but she went to bed one night, woke up the next morning, and her husband never woke up. He died in his sleep. He had heart failure that they didn't know he had. They're in their early 40s and he didn't wake up. And she created this entire program around what you just said, like do the damn thing, because she said, you never know. Tomorrow is not promised. You never know. And you will regret all the things you didn't do, not all the things you did do. And so if we get to a deeper meaning, I think some people have this knowing that they are meant for more, but they're scared or make a million excuses that feel very valid about moving forward. I'm not obsessed with digital courses. I teach people obviously how to create digital courses. It's not the course I'm obsessed with. It's what a digital course can do for you, the freedom that it offers. Financial freedom and time freedom and location freedom and creativity freedom, all things that very busy moms desperately need more of. And so I do think that this is an opportunity to get you more freedom in your life.
Well, you are, I have a couple Amy-isms that I always like, okay, that's what she said. And my favorite one is start simple and get fancy later.
Yes, I haven't said that one in a long time. And it's one of my favorites. I love that.
I think you also talked about how a course, I don't even know how long ago you had said this, but like think of your course idea as a mountain and how intimidating that is, but just like the foundation is the first piece of it. So in the chat, what course do you have in you? And I have a anonymous message. How do you get started with nothing? Like how can you get started with nothing?
So when you say nothing, I'm assuming, do you think that you mean, no audience, no social media platform. Is that what you think we're talking about?
A lot of the women in my community are fearful of social media. And as we know, it's just like serving one person is transformative. Yes. If you have five people following you, imagine five people around your dinner table. Exactly. If you have five people walk into your studio, like wouldn't you lose your mind?
Yes.
Right. So yeah. How do you start with, I guess, no followers? Let's start with that. How could you build a platform in order for your course to be successful when you have yet to have this following? And following is just, you know, I think we lose. Here's what I want to say about talking to you right now, because I feel like your growth in this long time has been just steady. And this isn't you when you first started. And this isn't me when I first started Avenue Mama. I came from loss. I started Avenue Mama because I lost seven people in 2017. So loss is very near and dear to me. Lost my dad, lost my father-in-law, two miscarriages, lost my favorite uncle. I lost my nanny all in a very small period of time. And I had that moment up and down the 405 freeway. I was like, I don't want to die being a photographer. Not that there's anything wrong with what I chose as my first entrepreneurship, but I had something in me that I wanted to do. And I think that's totally right. It's not necessarily an online course, but the freedom when you can have more than one reason why you do something is super important. It's going back to, so how do you get started when you're just even afraid to put yourself out there, let alone sell a course?
So one of the things that I think is so helpful for those that are just getting started is you have to do some things. I'm going to talk about what those things are, even if you don't feel like it. I was listening to Mel Robbins' book, 5 Second Rule, which I've listened to many, many times. And she talks about this idea that most of the time when we want to do something big, exciting, scary, it will never feel good in the beginning. You will never feel like it. And so we're going to take the feeling out of it because we've already established we're going to get many, many whys. Why do we want this? Why is it important to us? And then from there, you just have to get into motion. And motion or action creates clarity. You don't know exactly who you want to serve just yet. You don't know exactly what type of content you want to create. You're not even sure if you want a blog or a podcast or a video show. You don't know. You will never know until you do something. And so what I think one of the very first best steps is to start creating original content and actually choosing, is it a blog or is it video, like a regular video show every week, doesn't have to be fancy, or is it a podcast? And commit to that for 6 months. Say, I'm going to create original content for 6 months on this platform, and I'm going to see what it does or what happens. It's going to evolve. You will get more clarity on who your audience is. You'll get more clarity on what you love to talk about and what you don't love to talk about, but it puts you on the map. Once you have a way to create original content, you can create the social and you can tell them you have a new podcast out, or you can start growing your email list because on the podcast, you could talk about a freebie you have, but it starts with original content. Even before social media, we got to figure out what that platform is. Just choose one. Choose the one that just like kind of grabs you. I chose a podcast because I'm a slow writer and I don't necessarily love to write. And I don't necessarily love to be on video every single week having to like put it all together. But a podcast, I could talk in a dark room in my closet all day long. And so I chose a podcast. Plus I like that a podcast, the platforms will push it out for you. Apple, iHeartRadio, Spotify will actually help you find your audience, which is beautiful. Anyway, choose your platform.
And so if a mom had only 30 minutes a day, maybe twice a week, that's the first thing you would say is to choose the platform.
I would, and start creating content. Start talking, start formulating your message, start getting comfortable with putting yourself out there. I know what it feels like to not want to put yourself out there. I know very, very vividly. 12, almost 13 years ago when I worked for Tony Robbins, I literally had this massive guy in front stage where I was hiding in the back and I wasn't meaning to hide, but like my job on site at events was to wear black, to be backstage behind a computer working on the stuff that he was going to do on stage. I was meant not to be seen. So to go out into my world and do what I'm doing, I was very afraid. And I was mostly afraid of what people would think of me. That was like my biggest concern. Coworkers or Tony Robbins or whoever, what are they going to think of me when I try to do my own thing? They're not paying the bills, so it really doesn't matter.
Do you still have that fear now when you go on stages?
I do not. I'm always nervous to go out on a stage and talk to people just because nerves of public speaking. But I'm never afraid to get on video now or to put myself out there. But we're talking, that took a lot of practice. Like I'm saying, podcast or blog every week. I've done thousands of videos to get to this point. It's taken time.
The other thing that you introduced me to was Brooke Castillo. I distinctly remember a podcast episode where you were like, this whole B minus level work thing. I was like, that is such a game changer.
Yes.
So do you want to share with them what that means and how that could apply to every part of running a business and motherhood and so forth?
It's such a good one. So Brooke Castillo has this podcast called The Life Coach School, and she teaches really how to change your mindset and control what you can control in your life. And she came on my podcast and she introduced this concept of doing B minus work. Now, talking to a girl that wanted to get all A's in high school and college.
I did.
Not all through high school, but all through college. It was a thing.
Nice.
And I did. And it was important to me. Now I wish it wasn't that important. Those A's meant nothing when I got out of college. Mm-hmm. But I do like to excel. I do like to do the very best of the best work. I would actually not say I'm a perfectionist, but I love to like make sure that I gave 110% of everything. And she taught this concept of it, everything doesn't need 110%. Good enough is what will get you to keep going and do all the things you need to do. And I really thought about that and I realized, and this is a good question for us to ask, does the customer care? And what I mean by that is if you're going to put together a training, a digital course, and you're going to have either the most perfect lighting or good lighting, does the customer care if it's perfect lighting or good lighting? No, they don't usually care about the difference between the two. We care because we're trying to be perfect and look a certain way and act a certain way. So when she introduced this, I said, okay, Brooke, I can't get behind B minus work. I don't do B minus work, yeah. But I can get behind a B plus.
Power struggle.
Yeah, I can get behind a B plus. B plus to me is I'm not always going to give 110%. I'm going to do my very best in that moment, but there's a cutoff. 110% typically means I work on it longer than I need to work on it. I stress on it more than I need to stress on it. There's going to be a cutoff and I'm moving on to the next thing. That has served me well. And I think it can serve a lot of people well that have very little time and tend to try to get it perfect.
When we give ourselves permission to not make it perfect, we can just be like, oh, that wasn't so hard. Or why did I make that so hard, right?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. And that reminds me, here's proof that B minus or B plus works. If you look at your competitors, if you secretly take a look and you don't tell anyone what you're thinking, or you look at someone doing something big out in the world, and you really look at what they're putting out there and what they're publishing or broadcasting or whatever, I bet you could be like, I could do better than that. That's not even that great. She skipped step 3 and 4 when she was teaching XYZ. We all know we've been there. That is proof that their B plus work is working because they're farther along than we are right now. So that's proof that you could do it too.
Well, I also think that they're just more consistent too.
Yes.
Everyone listening could just be the best in their game and do it in such a way that would serve their customer, their client so much better. But it is that other person who was able to just do it.
Yes.
And they keep showing up and then you're just
showing up,
you know, and if you're going to get to this point where you're just like, I'm going to do it. Where else has that helped you in life? Just to like, what was something scary that you've done recently, maybe in the pandemic that you're like, you know, I'm just going to do it. What's something that you've done recently?
You know, I just recently got a really big book deal, and a book is something I've been talking about for 5 years now. And so I thought about it, talked about it, said I was going to do it. And I hate when people keep talking about something and don't do it. And here I was. I hated that I was doing that. So finally I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And the hardest thing I've ever done, well, there's a caveat, up until that point was write a book proposal. That was very difficult for me because I wanted to go after the big publishers. So it had to be a certain way. So I had to write sample chapters. I've never done that in my life. And I had to put together a marketing plan and put together who the book was for and like really put some stakes in the ground. Like this is what the book's about and this is who it's for. And this is what I'm going to teach. Very hard. It took 4 months, longer than I think it should have taken. But I did it and got a really lucrative, amazing, exciting book deal. But now the hardest thing I've ever done is write the frickin' book. And I just might lose my mind over it.
So a lot of these ladies are in programs that I've coached. And so can I do a little fun exercise with you?
Sure.
Okay. So this is the airport exercise that I love. And basically it means like in 5 years, you and I run into each other at the airport. And everything in your life has happened the way you wanted. Like you blew your own mind. And we're just going to have a conversation and you're going to answer the questions as if it's already happened. Ready?
Ooh, okay.
Okay. So just spontaneous, no right answers. And sometimes things just come out of your mouth that you're like, oh, I didn't know I wanted that. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Oh my gosh, Amy, it's so good to see you. Where are you off to? So
oh,
fun.
Oh, I'm going to Hawaii with my husband.
Yeah. Are you speaking? Are you vacationing?
What's going on? Just for a vacation. I don't speak on stages anymore. It's not something I absolutely love. So I get paid in different ways.
Also, oh my God, I just walked by the newsstand and I walked by so fast, but I saw your face on the cover of what magazine was that?
Oh, it was Success Magazine.
Yeah. What was that write-up about?
It was all about how to work less and make more impact and more money. Really passionate about and really have dialed in over the last 5 years.
Well, you saw my book. This is your second New York Times bestseller. Is that right?
It is. I'm so excited about that.
How did the first one do?
The first one was totally blew my mind, surprised me. And it's touching lives in ways that I never knew it would even touch lives. And it's in hands of people that I didn't even know needed it, but they do. And so we hit the New York Times bestseller and stayed on it for a very long time.
Yeah, how many weeks was that?
I think it was like 20.
20? But girl, I know you didn't even want to write it. So what did it take from you to do it?
Oh, such a great question. It took me to finally say, I know I'm scared about putting this message out there. I don't know what's going to happen with the book, but I started to think more about the people I was writing it for than the clout that the book would give me or the list that I wanted to get on. When I started to think about who I was writing it for, it started to flow out of me.
Yeah. And did the topics change, or did you, because I know you really well, because, you know, we hang out all the time, Amy, in these last 5 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, that first thing that you turned in, what percentage of it ended up being in the book?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I think about 75%. I think 25% took a surprising turn that I'm so glad I went with, mm-hmm. and it made the book even better.
Awesome. Are you guys still in Nashville?
We are, but we actually have a vacation home in California that we get to come back to all the time.
Carlsbad?
Carlsbad. Yes, we actually went back to where we love and what I started to miss a lot.
And tell me about that house. What does that look like?
It's right on the water. I've never had a house right on the beach. It's on the water. It's on the smaller side. It's just Toby and I. And it's a really great place that we get to just escape to. And when I'm hating the weather in Nashville, I go to California.
Do you rent it out during the time, or is it just there for you guys?
Just there. It's just our little secret getaway.
Oh my gosh. Wait, was it in that one cul-de-sac you guys walked by, or did you find a new pocket in Carlsbad that you found this house?
Oh yeah. We found a little new pocket. It was surprising. One time we went and vacationed in California to go see some family, and we stumbled upon it. We thought, this is where we want to go. So we just saved up for a few years. We paid cash for it, and we were really excited.
Awesome. What else is on the horizon for you?
You know, I'm looking to find new ways to turn my programs on evergreen. And so we'll probably in the next few years do less live launches, but my podcast exploded, and it is the number one way I bring in almost 90% of the people that come into my world. And so because the podcast does so well, it's really easy to feed into evergreen programs. So that's really what we're focused on.
Well, you know, it's so funny because 5 years ago, your podcast already seemed to already like be everywhere. So how did you make it next level?
I finally started to focus on the people that I serve instead of worrying about the numbers, something that I've learned along the way. So letting go of my ego has really proven to help me move forward.
Do you think that your team is the same, or did you grow it, or who did you promote within your team?
We've had a leadership team for many, many years now, but I started to rely heavily on my leadership team and let them run with some really big initiatives. So I have the most solid leadership team I've ever had. And the team is actually a little bit smaller. We realized that if we're going to focus on less programs, we could have a smaller team, but do really big things with those programs. So I really love the size of the team.
And is DCA still running in, where are we, 2026?
Yes, it is. And it's taken on a life of its own. We've added certification, which now people can teach Digital Course Academy to other people in real time as well as online. So it's really taken off in a bigger way.
You have this like glow about you. Like, what is that all about, Amy, now that we're 5 years out? How are you glowing so much? What happened in your life?
I think that I finally feel really comfortable with who I am and where I am. I feel confident in the decisions that I make and how I move forward. So, and I really feel at peace. I feel like I'm where I'm meant to be and living life the way I want to live it. So it feels really good. So I wake up in the morning and I just feel like I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And I have the time for my family and my business equally. And it feels good.
Yeah. And did you do more family trips? So what did that look like for you to get that family time?
You know, Hobie retired in 2021. And so I've been able over the last 5 years to just have more and more time with him. And our son has now graduated college, and now he's got this great engineering job. So he's really excited, and we get to spend extra time with him.
I love it. Well, I don't want you to miss your flight. And after Hawaii, where else are you going? That's crazy that you're spending how long in Hawaii?
About 2 weeks. And then I think we'll just go back to Nashville because we really love it there. And so we'll spend some time back at home.
NC Scout. Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, and scene. cool. How did that
feel? Is such a fun exercise.
So fun.
Has everyone in this group done that exercise?
For the most part, yeah. Some of the ladies here are new to, they're not in our mastermind. I'm looking to see who's here. But most, and I think it just allows us to like have fun. Like we are some people who are like intense and we need to really like feel like we're chasing something. And there's a really cool affirmation I did in our mastermind yesterday. And it was, I don't chase, I attract.
Yes.
Like everything that belongs to me will simply find me. And I had all the ladies do it yesterday. And it's something where I feel like we're chasing. I don't know about anyone else in the chat, but like, it feels like we're chasing. We're chasing the next dollar. We're chasing the next idea. We're chasing social media. And 24 hours ago, I just said, I'm not chasing anything. I just want to be.
I love that. I don't chase, I attract. You know, 13 years in, and I could pinpoint some areas of my life where I feel that I'm chasing. And it comes from a place of, if I ever feel like I'm not enough, or that I'm lacking in some way, or sometimes it comes from a weird place of feeling, this is a very big word, and I might not mean it wholly, but at like a little bit of a desperation sometimes. When I feel a little bit like I'm chasing something, like, why do I feel so desperate to have that thing? What would it mean if I didn't have it? Or if I just let it come naturally, if it was meant to be? I love the idea of I don't chase.
Especially with the explosion of, you know, the access to getting into the digital space is easy. But what comes with that is a lot of, you know, competition, right? Everybody is popping up. Everybody's making six figures over a weekend. There's all that. And what I feel is, because I started photography and 15 years ago, like I was on Craigslist and I said, I'll come to your wedding and I'll shoot your wedding for free as a second shooter. So I feel like, thank God I didn't grow up on social media for my business, because it is hard. And now I don't care, because it's just kind of like, either you're going to like me or you're not. You're going to be attracted to what I have to say, or I'm going to annoy you, and that's okay. So what can you say to the mamas who are like, you know, I want to exit my 9-to-5 and I want to do it smartly. And an online course is actually the bridge. What would you say? Because I feel like I listened to that, but it took me 2 years to finally do it. And like I said, as your elder here, I do not want anyone to wait 2 years, because you don't have to do that. No. So what would you say about just like, I mean, I know we said that earlier, but is there anything else that you can drop?
So if you want to leave your nine, funny enough, the book that I'm writing is about how to leave a 9-to-5 job or something you're doing now and move into the online space, not courses specifically, but the online space. And one of the things, so let's say you want to leave a 9-to-5 job or what you're doing now and actually create a digital course because you're looking for that consistent revenue and an asset in your business that can give you confidence knowing it can make you money. One of the things that you want to start thinking about is what type of course that you would create. So I'm actually going to get specific here for a moment. There's three different types of courses. And when you figure out what type of course you want to create, it actually starts opening up your mind to opportunities of what it might look like and what's the topic and what would you name it and what would you price it and all that great stuff. So the three different types of courses are a starter course, which is like a jumping off point. You're just getting people started in this area that they want to get going in. You're giving them results, but they're not huge results, just enough to get them started. So typically you charge anywhere from $47 to $200, and you've got a few modules, and under each module, you've got a few video lessons. They could get through it in a weekend or maybe a week. So that's the first type of course you can create. And I think everyone here has a starter course in them, because remember, to create a course, you just need to have gotten results for yourself or for somebody else, and you're willing to teach how you got those results. You just need to be 10% ahead of those you serve so you can show them the way. The second type of course is a spotlight course. This is my favorite type of course. A spotlight course is taking one area of your expertise and then drilling down into it very specifically. So all of you here know a lot of stuff, whether it be in your personal life or your business life or a mix of both. You've gotten results in many areas of your life. But when you do something, where do people say like, how did you do that? Wait, tell me more. How did you do that? It looks so simple when you do it. That typically is a sign that you're onto something. So let me give you an example. One of my students, Rob Green, he's a photographer. And during COVID, he wasn't getting any photography gigs. And he always had a digital course on his heart. He wanted to do something, but he didn't know what. Then he decided, you know what, every time I post a photo that is flash photography, people always want to know how I made it look like natural light. They're always curious. Oh. And I've got these little techniques and strategies to take flash photography and make it look like natural light.
So yeah.
It's so cool, right? Yeah. So he made a course. We call it a spotlight course. He took one area. He knows about tons of stuff, posing, equipment, getting clients. He knows tons about photography. He took one area and he went deep. And for a spotlight course is really fun because you don't have to worry about throwing everything you know into that. You're just promising results in one small, very specific area. But because it's specific, you can charge more, anywhere from $200 to $500 for a spotlight course. Again, this is like 3 to 5 modules, like big topics up top, and then maybe 3 to 5 videos below max is usually a spotlight course. It takes people a week to 3 weeks to get through it. The final type of course is a signature course. This is what I call the Mac Daddy of all courses. It's a big one. Digital Course Academy is my signature course where I take you through everything you need to know from scratch, how to create a course and how to launch a course. It promises big results. And so that's why we call it a signature course. Typically, it takes people 30 days, 60 days to get through it. And you charge anywhere from $500 all the way up to $3,000 or more. I typically tell my students, let's not start with the signature course. That's very overwhelming. Starter course or a spotlight course is a sweet spot for a first-time course creator. So anyone that's thinking about wanting to make this a side gig, wanting to have a digital course, start thinking of the type of course and then ask yourself, okay, what do I want to teach? But one thing that might help you is where my audience members or people I know in my life, where do they struggle and how can I solve that struggle?
I have a question for one of our mamas, Kristen. I want you to introduce yourself to Amy. Her course is Kids Can Be Assholes. She's a pediatrician.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry. Annie, you're putting me on the spot and I'm at work, so I have to watch my language.
I love this.
Hi, Amy. Thank you so much for your time today. So I am creating my first e-course. I want it to be a series of courses, and I want the series to be called Kids Can Be Assholes. Not because they are, I love children, but the first course is on understanding and modifying problematic behavior in toddlers and preschoolers. It's seeming to be kind of like a spotlight course, but yeah. Right now the plan is to have about 9 videos. Is that too much?
No, that's great. Now, okay. One thing to think about with videos, first of all, that is totally a spotlight course because it is, you said tantrums, right?
Tantrums and picky eating and whining.
Got it. Okay, great. So one of the things to make it a spotlight course is like if you take those 3 things or maybe there's a few more, if it's problematic behavior or whatever, that would be spotlight because you're going deep into that area. For videos, 9 videos is great. But one thing for everyone, no matter what type of course you're creating, one of the things I've seen work really well over the years, this has changed, is that I'd love to see your videos 15 minutes or less. So if whatever you want to teach is an hour, let's break it up into 15-minute videos. People feel that they're getting through your course better and faster and feel momentum, so they feel accomplished. So as long as you can keep those videos 15 minutes or less, I'm all about it.
Great. Thank you so much.
Congrats.
Annie, my whining information, girl, I'll send it your way.
Well, I think that's what makes it a spotlight, right? Because you're talking about picky eaters, whining. What was the last one? Tantrums?
Mm-hmm. Tantrums and aggressive behavior, like hitting, kicking, biting, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so that would be spotlight.
What do you hear the most from the parents? If you had to pick one, what do you
hear? Oh my gosh. You know, whining. Mm-hmm. Whining is a big one. And it's so interesting. And I talk about this in the course, but there is actually a biological basis behind whining. And there have been research studies that have shown that human beings will respond to whining faster than they will respond to any other type of language.
Interesting.
So, wow. So yeah. And then helping parents kind of understand where it comes from, what it really means, what to do about it. And the same thing with the temper tantrums and the picky eating and the aggressive behavior. I started filming yesterday, so we'll see how it goes.
Okay. So Cool. You get to declare in front of everybody, when are you going to finish the course?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I declare that my course will be ready to launch on October 15th.
All right. And so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. Kristen, thank you. I know that was something that was intimidating, but that's the thing. I feel like you know, you talked earlier about just kind of doing it. I have this analogy of a swimming pool, and all of us think, and the swimming pool is the course or the online business or whatever. And we think we want to get inside the pool. So we watch people do it. We read books about it. We listen to podcasts about it. And it's not until you jump into the pool, do you realize that, oh, I actually don't want to be in here. I actually don't like it. I actually would rather scuba dive, or, you know, so I think it's the same concept of like, we just don't know until you do it. And I think that's where the lesson is. It's this fantasy world, the online business, there's all these shiny objects. And I love what you said about just like figuring out for 6 months before you decide, because truly for people who start like a coaching business, I think people who want to be a coach, I feel like we have like a heart for everybody, but it's not until you start coaching, do you start figuring out like, who do I love to serve the most? Who, which type of persona, because we can actually do that. So for your courses, I just want people to know that you don't have to make a course about something that you're a professional or being paid for. Can you tell us about some off the wall courses that really has served the person? And I don't want anyone to think that if you don't make seven figures, that your course or what you're doing is not successful. I want people to be like, oh my God, that $500 from this course really allowed me to do some really big things in my family. So can you talk about off the wall courses that have been, that blew your mind? I know you do it in your podcast, but just here for these ladies today.
Yeah. So many of my students have created courses that have nothing to do with what they do professionally or how they make money. And so, not necessarily so off the wall, but let me tell you, one of my students, Nell, I love this story. Nell, she lives in Denmark, and she took a hobby, which was how to turn clay into pots and dishes. And she loved this. She loved this. Her profession was in something totally different, but she needed to turn her mind off in a different way. So what she did is she said, I don't want to teach how to do this because I just learned. I wouldn't say I was a professional at it, but she took Digital Course Academy and she wanted to find a way to make money with the digital course. So she asked her instructor, would you go on video? Her instructor was an older woman who knew nothing about technology, nothing about marketing, and sure as heck didn't hear about Digital Course Academy. And she said, if I do everything else, if I put together the curriculum and what we're going to teach and how we're going to teach it and do the marketing, would you teach in my videos? And she said, of course I would. And so together they made this digital course on how to turn clay into dishes. And she made $30,000 her first time out. And she split it with her instructor, which was still a lot of money. I tell this story to say there's creative ways to get your course out into the world. And I want you to be open-minded to what that might look like. But I wanted to tell you a more relatable story, and this is with Audrey Tom. And Audrey, she had a job in a totally different field, but one thing that she loved to do is style her girlfriends. So her girlfriends would come over and she would show them how to put together the perfect outfits. They were busy moms. They wanted to be casual and comfortable, but look good. So she always did this for fun. And then her friend started saying, you should turn this into a business. She had never turned that into a business before, never had been paid for it, but she decided to create a course, and her course was called Simply Put Together. And she made $107,000 with her first launch because she was doing something she loved that she knew her girlfriends loved as well. Now, you don't have to make all this money with your digital courses, but I do want to remind you that you don't need to make money in the area that you feel is where people have paid you for in the past. There's always different ways that you can make money with digital courses.
Will it be something that you could launch just for fun?
Me?
Yeah. Just like, oh,
I would launch how to organize a house. In another life, I think I was a professional organizer, and it's where I find my most joy. And so if I could get into people's closets and their cupboards and just like totally revamp all of that, I would do it in a minute. I feel like I could do really well with an organizing course.
You know what might be kind of fun is if you actually did a course like in real time during DCA. No, not during DCA.
I can't do that.
During DCA, but like watch me like do something like that is so not cool. Real house.
That is a fun idea.
So how did you get your house together? Do you love it? Because I can't understand why you would love that, because I feel so overwhelmed looking at my house that I haven't unpacked in 4 years. Tell me
I also don't have kids at home. So my stepson is in college. So that makes a huge difference. Yeah. You know, it's funny because I find calmness in putting things where they belong and making sure all the drawers are organized. I literally find calm in that so that I want to spend time doing it. So on the weekends and at nights, instead of doing things that other people love to do, I was in my kitchen making it all come together. But I like to know where things are at all times. And when I look around and don't see anything like out of place, well, not anything, that would drive my husband crazy, but just most things are in their place, I just feel calm. So I think it is all about a feeling that you want.
How's your refrigerator? Is it like in those plastic containers?
Well, it is, but I don't cook. I'm like the worst cook in the world. And so I do like meal prep stuff. So there's not much in my fridge. It's embarrassing. One of my best friends from college came and stayed with us for the weekend. And she's like, where's your food? Like, where's your food? Like, I don't have a lot in the house at all times because I'm not a good cook. And neither is my husband.
Because mom's not doing meal prep and Model Meals is coming, hopefully.
Oh my gosh. So Model Meals. So Annie and I have a dear friend in common, Danica, and she does Model Meals and they don't come to Nashville. And that's exactly what I did in California. So I'm kind of bummed.
She just sold it. And so
company
that is going to take it Nashville.
Okay.
You're going to get up for that. So you don't have food like just snacky things in your fridge.
So that's another thing. I am an emotional eater. Now you're learning all this stuff about me. So snacky food around my house is not a good thing. So I do not have snacks. I mean, I've got fruit and vegetables in the fridge, but seriously, I'll do meal prep on Sundays. So the only thing is the food for the week, but there's nothing really else. I would be a terrible mom to a toddler. I would not have anything for them. But when I go to my mom's house, who happens to live 30 minutes away, she moved here when I moved here, that woman could whip up a sandwich in a minute any day of the week. And it blows my mind that she has everything needed for a beautiful sandwich. So I hope one day I get that way.
Amy, it's just bread, insert filling.
But she always seems to have the lettuce and the tomato and the right condiments and the right chips. And I'm like, how do you have this in your house all the time? She does. She's a mom.
It's so funny. I know we just have five more minutes. How has it been in Nashville? Have you found your people? Have you made friends?
The great thing is, one thing that is very special about Nashville, the nicest people I've ever met, like beyond nice. Everyone wants to help. Everyone invites me to everything. I feel that they don't even know me and they invite me. And I feel that they're very, very welcoming. So I couldn't be happier with the people here and my connections and my network, and all of that is great. I'm struggling with the weather. The weather, being born and raised in Southern California, I had no idea how good I had it. I didn't know that everywhere is not 70 and beautiful and palm trees swaying. And that was Carlsbad. So I struggle with the weather, and it gets to me a little bit in turn, like actually my mood changes, but I'm working very hard on it.
Have those lights. I feel like, does anyone know it? I feel like they have those lights just for people like you, that someone came up with a natural light that you can have all over the place to give you those vitamin D.
I'm going to have to get it for this winter because the winter was a little rough for me.
For sure. And just, you know, I feel like one of the things that makes it really interesting in this field is women giving some permission. So thank you for talking about that. And then that you've just stayed really consistent in just taking the one course and doing it again and again. As an Enneagram 7, I want to start a new business every 5 seconds. And it's awful. It's not good. So can you share like where people who are multi-passionate, who are listening, can really like identify with like, well, if I were to start a business, and it causes paralysis, right?
Yeah.
How would you decide for them to be like, girlfriend, this is the one? Or do you have any litmus test, so to speak?
You know, I think you shouldn't rush into whatever it is your business is going to be. Or really, a lot of times we know what the business is going to be, but what we're going to offer. I do think it deserves some really good planning and thinking, is this what I want to create? But one of the things, so I don't have tons of ideas. I'm one of the most... I'm not very creative, so I don't have ideas flowing through my head all the time, which tends to serve me well, because then I get on one thing and I could just go over and over and over and make it better, better, better. But what I'll say is that if you're multi-passionate, all the things you want to do, all the things you love, I believe that you can. I just don't think you should make them your business. So finding that one thing and doubling down on that, it actually takes discipline to not switch gears all the time. It actually is not the easiest thing you've ever done or I've ever done, but I do believe that it makes a bigger impact. So if you deeply care, which I know you all do, about those that you serve, the better you get at one thing, the deeper your value can be in your community. If you tend to stay jack of all trades or do a lot of things or flip-flop from things, you will never be really good at one thing. I am not good at a million things in business, but I could show you how to create and launch a digital course like nobody else. Like that, I've got confidence in. And I've got hundreds of success stories to back me up. I would never have hundreds of success stories to back me up if I flip-flop from project to project just because it felt good to me. Sometimes it doesn't always feel good to stay in my lane, but at the end of the day, it's the most rewarding thing I've ever done. So follow your dreams and passions, but they don't have to be something you get paid for.
Do you feel like right now it feels like there's just a lot of intensity in like start a business, or is it just me? Like people coming out to just almost, what do I want to say? Make it sound so easy, right? But I feel like it takes that really that inner work more than anything, like that confidence. And so I guess I want to say is like, if you're struggling, it's just like, have some grace for yourself. That it doesn't happen overnight. Know that it doesn't have to be a seven-figure anything. And it is more than okay to do it for you and then the community that you want to serve, right? Like,
yes. Amen to that.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. I know we're at time. Thank you, Amy. Ladies, if you want to stay on, I'm here. But I so appreciate you. I cannot wait for this. Thank you for allowing me to be an affiliate. I'm really excited.
I'm honored. I'm so honored that we're partnering together. And thank you so much for that. And ladies, I'm just cheering you on every step of the way. I know that great things are on your horizon or likely happening for you right now. And I'm so glad I got to spend this time with you. So thank you so very much. And Annie, thank you. Take care, guys.
So as I said before, all things Amy at avenuemama.com/Amy, where you can see some of her free trainings, her free resources, her free guides, and how you can connect with me. I'm Annie. I am the founder of Avenue Mama that I created really not even about business, to be honest with you. So let's talk about just creating from the place of wanting to step into your dreams. I started Avenue Mama for self-compassion and self-love and self-care. And it turned into, hey, how did you launch a business? Hey, how did you quit pharmacy? Hey, how did you leave your 9-to-5? And over time, it evolved into something that I absolutely adore. So if this is you and you haven't really figured out something that you adore and that lights you up, that makes you feel alive, then come on in to Avenue Mama. We have this podcast, we have Instagram, we have a Facebook group. And if you want more, I have a membership. I also have a mastermind. So head on over to Avenue Mama and I hope to see you in any capacity. And if you're listening and if you direct message me at Avenue Mama with the special code word geeking out, when I see that, I'm going to send you something really special. So Avenue Mama on Instagram. Direct message me, geeking out, and I know that you are geeking out with me as well as you came on this show. Thank you. Because maybe you've been thinking about having an online course, and maybe this is your year. I'd love to see you put your dreams out there for other people to take part in it. Take care.